All right, so everything is public these days. Almost everything. An app that launched today with, I'd say, a lot of public fanfare is Talkshow for iOS. Aims to bring text messaging and instant messaging, either or both, I'm not quite sure at this point, into the public sphere. Joining us to talk about Talkshow is the founder of the service and ex-Twitter VP, actually, Michael Sippy. How's it going, Michael?
It's great. You know, exciting day. Launch is fun.
I can only imagine the first day launch of anything is probably a mixture of kind of excitement and fear, because you never know what to expect. So first things first, before we get to kind of all the interesting stuff on Talkshow, the really important stuff, how did Taylor Swift influence the creation of Talkshow?
All right. So I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan. A bunch of friends of mine know that about me, listen to her all the time, follow her on Twitter, on Instagram and Tumblr and all the other places usually follow people. And she had this great, I saw a show with her and Ed Sheeran, and they're obviously friends, and he toured with her. And then I saw an Instagram post that was a screenshot of an iMessage conversation between Taylor and Ed. And it was, it's 3 or 4 messages long, but it's funny, and it's personal. And, basically you look at it and you're like, those two are really good at texting. So it's like, wouldn't you actually want to see those? So some of the impetus towards what we launched today, which is Talkshow.
So explain it a little bit, just the service in general. How do you envision this kind of fitting into, I always kind of consider the social, kind of the public sharing landscape to be pretty crowded at this point. I feel like there are so many services. Where does this fit in specifically?
Sure. So Talkshow is about texting in public. We think that there are people in the world that are like incredibly good at texting. And if they had a platform where they could do it in public, they could build an audience doing it. Conversation is the way that we connect with each other. It's the way that we share ideas, like we're doing it right now. And I think that messaging is how we have conversations today. So we want to take this simple thing that people do with their friends or with people they know and they trust, and essentially give them a platform to do that in front of an audience. The whole notion of people having conversations together, it's really simple, and we want to turn that into media.
It does feel a little bit like a decade ago when, we were all sitting around talking and saying, wow, our conversations are interesting. We should start a podcast.
Wow, we are hilarious.
do you see the connection to podcasting?
Oh, totally, totally. So, my background, I have a long history in working in social media stuff. And so I love giving people tools to express themselves and to build an audience. And, I've been a long time kind of podcast listener and love the podcasts where people actually just they know each other well, they know a topic well, and they talk with each other, and it can be really, really informative and entertaining and engaging. So we think that can happen in text, and we think that new types of conversation can happen in text that are different than what happens in podcasts or what happens in a video show like the show.
Nate, you are funny on Twitter. Can you imagine using this, taking your funny to a place where people couldn't, like, I guess that's the other benefit of Talkshow is you don't have always people butting
interjecting.
Yeah, you have to invite
them. It's curated somewhat.
Nate, could you see taking your Twitter show to Talkshow?
I'm not entirely sure. I think it really depends on who else is there to a certain extent, right? I see a lot of conversations folding out over Twitter, and it's really fun to observe sometimes and see, whether it's actual journalists doing interviews over it or musicians interacting with one another or, Kanye West making public pleas to Mark Zuckerberg to, fund his projects and things like this. I mean, there is sort of a little bit of a public voyeurism on other people's conversations that's already taking place. But I think in order for this to take off, I really feel like I almost need to see some kind of momentum there first. It has to be a place where people go in order to see these conversations. So I think the idea is an interesting one, but I really guess I kind of wonder, what are you going to do to pull people in to get them to have those conversations there? Because right now there are lots of other places where these things are kind of already happening.
Yeah, that's a great question. Step one, make the app available to people, right? So without it actually being available, it's very hard to actually pull people in and have conversations. So, you know, we've got a lot of plans of you know, places and people that we want to go reach out to and folks that we think would be great on the platform. And so just stay tuned. We'll hopefully have a lot of really interesting conversations. I totally agree. Like, you know, there's we think that this would be a great place for comedians and entertainers and actors and, you know, cast of a TV show or bands to have a conversation with each other and do it in a way where they can talk with each other and feel safe and talk, you know, having that conversation, but other people can peer in and provide feedback. So
kind of feels to me like maybe one of the ideas that I would have liked to have seen come from Twitter itself. I mean, I'm still waiting for them to really kind of show us some new things that are built on top of, you know, this existing community they already have. This seems like it could be really interesting. The concept of curating the conversation, hopefully when people open the app, they'll see conversations already taking place they might want to check out. And if so, I feel like that could make it something that gains some traction. But that's going to be a pretty big hurdle for you guys to really build that audience.
Yeah, we have a lot of work to do. Day one.
Yes, congrats for shipping, first of all, because shipping is a pretty big hurdle to overcome initially. Now, you guys have been testing this for a little while behind the scenes anyways. Have you noticed that, I mean, just in your estimation from your feedback from users and stuff, do people treat their conversations on talk show differently than they conduct their normal kind of text messaging? Because I think that's actually kind of a critical component here, is that it's a service to kind of share that messaging, you know, with the world when people are okay with that. But, you know, it kind of also hinges on the fact that they are who they would be in their normal messaging environment. Have you seen that?
Yeah, we've seen it. I think that there's, we had a small group of folks that were testing. We saw some performative aspect, right? You know that you're on stage, you know that this is in public, and so you kind of up your game a little bit, right? And the people that are good at it are going to up their game a little bit, and you know, try to be a little bit funny, try to be fast, try to be clever, use animated GIFs, like you know, punctuate with emoji, like they're, you know, they essentially try to raise their game, and so. You know, that combined with like the normal kind of like, it looks like a messaging client, right? You're in there, mm-hmm. and it's like back and forth and it feels natural and it feels like I can actually let my guard down and have kind of a natural conversation here. It's that, I think that tension is going to be really interesting and fun.
What I like about it is just the aspect that, you know, one of the problems with Twitter is how easy it is for someone to say something very nasty to you and elevate it to suddenly where everyone else can see it, you know, with a simple mm-hmm. at symbol. And, you know, that's the way they started, and they can't back off from that now, because then it's like, that's what the platform is for. But you're starting in an element like there are people performing and just as if they're on somewhat of a stage. So it's not everybody, you know, and that's a different kind of community. And that solves a big problem. Whereas like whenever you start to say like on Reddit or Twitter or any place that, you know, this community is getting horrible, people are saying horrible things to everyone because everybody has a voice. And then you say, well, let's take some voices away. And then, you know, then it's a free speech issue. But you're starting at a place where it's not. It's like, I don't get to stand up at, you know, on Broadway at the cast of Hamilton and say, you're ugly. You know, like that's...
I mean, you'll get kicked out.
I would get kicked out. And, you know, I have to be invited onto the stage of Hamilton, yeah. which is my dream. But so I think that from an abuse perspective, I think this is a really interesting model.
Well, I think it's also... people want to have conversation in a fun and enjoyable way, right? And so when they want to do that, like have those conversations online in a fun, enjoyable way. And so, and when you actually constrain it to the people that you've invited and the folks that are actually, you know, in there as a co-host with you in your talk show, and, you know, that can be a really great way to have a conversation and then, you know, share that online.
It's interesting to me because it seems like there's a little bit of kind of a trend going on right now. Like we've done so many things with social. And now what's happening, like I think it was last month, an app called Shorts was launched on iOS that basically allows you to publicize your camera roll. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're, and then of course, talk show, you know, aims at kind of bringing kind of messaging, the messaging platform to a public sphere. It's just, it's interesting that in a time when so many people are so concerned about certain aspects of privacy, at the same time, people are also kind of okay with taking these things that were once so private and just kind of putting them out there for everybody to follow and everything like that. Why do you think that is? Why is there this kind of two-sided, I don't know, view on privacy right now?
I don't know. I think we've had that two-sided view on privacy for a long time. I mean, I started, you know, blogging 20 or whatever years ago, and back then people were like, well, why would anyone ever put their diary online, right? Like, and that was essentially what people thought of as blogs then, which is like, oh, it's just this personal diary and personal publishing. Like, why would anybody do that? Who would actually read that? And out of that came really interesting media, right? So I think that there's this trend of like, how do you, you know, people that want to put their lives out there and want to actually express themselves in public are looking for platforms to do that. Just like, you know, you share video on YouTube or Vine, and you share on Snapchat, and you share like what's happening in your life on Twitter. Like, having conversation in public is another thing that I think people are going to be willing to do. At least that's the bet we're making.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, very interesting stuff. I'll be very curious to kind of follow along. I've got my iPad. I am an Android guy. Do you have an Android version?
Not yet.
Someone down the line, maybe. Okay.
But, you know, right, he got his iPad out for this.
I did.
Never a day goes by when an app just launches on iOS Android. Yes. And he actually got his iPad out of storage for this
right.
one. So.
Look, we can actually see. Oh, yeah.
There we go. I can show you. I put myself in an astronaut hat for this show, for this app, okay?
You look good in that.
All right. Thank you. This is, I'm like a talk show astronaut in this picture.